boiling pool, and the priest would carry this pitcher full of water, this golden pitcher, in procession back to the tabernacle. And then we would get to the tabernacle, he would go to the altar, and he would pour out the water, commemorating the Exodus 17 story of provision of water in the wilderness. Okay? Beautiful, beautiful reenactment. And the people would recite or sing from Isaiah 12:3, "With joy we draw water from the wells of salvation." Beautiful thing. Now the tension. Jesus had to travel nearly alone. He's in the last year of his time on earth. He sent most of his disciples ahead of him so he wouldn't be seen quite as easily. He joins the feast quietly. And he's under fierce opposition. His clear and provocative message more and more frequently is, "I am the Messiah." And it's not going over well with certain members of society. Now, he also knows the deep spiritual thirst of his people at this time in history. And in contrast to the once-a-year ceremonial pouring of a pitcher full of water, Jesus unashamedly speaks out with a loud voice in the temple courts, identifying himself as the source of endless spiritual water for all who are thirsty and who want to come. So my question for us to consider this morning is, do you want God's living waters to flow more freely and fully in your life? Do you want? Do you desire? Will you let yourself risk hope again? And to answer the question for us today, I'm going to share a perspective on the Holy Spirit and stewardship. And for some of you, that just triggered something in your mind with maybe a negative. And you can dismiss that voice, because this is a very positive message that you may not have previously considered. I will not be speaking about the specific, wonderful, life-transforming gift of giving, which has changed my life. Some other time. Don't get me started. But about stewarding every resource that has been entrusted to us by God, especially those Holy Spirit gifts. This larger concept of stewardship I want to talk about is consistent with God's Genesis command to man to have dominion over the earth. But it's also consistent with a kind of divine order that I'll describe in a moment about the way God lives. I'm calling this role royal steward. It was on the previous slide. Royal stewards of living water. Royal stewards of living water. And I use the word royal because we are a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, because we minister unto the Lord, as the priest would have the label, unto the Lord, on his forehead. I use the word steward because once we are saved, we've been born again, stewarding or managing on behalf of a good owner becomes the job, the joy of the believer. And finally, I use Jesus' words, living waters, to include all the mysteries of God revealed through Jesus Christ in the scriptures by the Holy Spirit, plus our own Holy Spirit gifts and talents. And I want to tell you up front that I have copies of this message, not to be presumptuous, but I see some people taking notes, and that's wonderful, and you can. There are over 50 scriptures that I've quoted in the work of putting this word together for you today, and I've got them all on paper or online. We can make that happen afterwards, but I just wanted to let you know that. So let's begin by looking at God himself. There's a good place to start when you want a model, right? Within the Godhead, Bill prayed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each member of the Godhead carries out certain responsibilities and duties, but they do so in deference or in service to another part of God. It's very interesting. If you look at John chapters 14 through 16, Jesus' words are full of this. We know the example of Jesus the best. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak what the Father has taught me. I was sent from the Father. I returned to the Father. The list goes on and on and on. You keep seeing this, I only do what the Father has taught me. And just likewise, the Holy Spirit, Jesus was explaining the coming Holy Spirit to his disciples. He said that the Holy Spirit would not speak on his own initiative, because whatever he hears from God, he would speak to us. He would disclose those things to come. So the Holy Spirit is the steward of the words of Christ, just like Jesus is the steward of the words of the Father and the image of the Father. What about the Father? What is he steward over? Well, the awe-inspiring answer is his glory. It's the most, because there's nothing else higher. In this divine order of stewardship, each delighting in his own role, submitting to another, and enjoying absolute security as equals, because love drives every thought and action. Now, I share this insight not as some esoteric or meaningless sort of a teaching, but as foundational to the concept of stewarding. You see, there is a way that God exists, a way he's always existed, in a way he will always exist. And it's in this model of service to himself. And if God himself lives happily, lovingly, joyfully, and effectively within a lifestyle of deference and mutual service, what does that say to us? Those of us who bear God's very image, and I'll ask this rhetorical question, isn't the culturally driven God of our hyper-independence and our self overrated in its ability to deliver us real joy? A preacher I heard recently said, the smallest world we'll ever be a part of is the one in which we are the center. So let's look at our place in this divine order. The incredible thing is God graciously invites us to join this happy fellowship and play a vital role. As royal stewards, we've been granted access to the king's treasury. The vault door is wide open. It includes God's wonderful truths, his word, his Holy Spirit gifts, his insights, all alive and revealing to us the spiritual realities behind the physical world that the rest of the world calls the real world. We are the means, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, whereby God's will already accomplished in heaven, go back to the disciples' prayer, is to be accomplished on earth. You see, God gives gifts to us to enable that reality. So welcomed into a fellowship that is utterly secure, utterly loving, we find joy as we participate with God. So work with me. We'll go back to the physical now. Work with me on a simple but powerful exercise you can use every day to take your place as a royal steward of living waters. We begin with our first essential. We connect to our source by lifting our hands in praise and worship to God in heaven. Isaiah 12:3, which I told you they quoted when they were in procession back to the temple. Verse 4, the next verse, begins with the words, give thanks to the Lord. And the word translated give thanks literally means lift your hands. That's what the word means. So lift your hands in praise. Go ahead and lift them right now. Just say, okay, just try it a few times. Stretch them out a little bit. So we're going to connect to the source. Okay, that's good. Well done. Beautiful. My shirt's going to come untucked. Praise aligns our hearts with God. I love the fact that this church is schooled in praise, more importantly than schooled, experienced. But praise also causes great violence to the kingdom of darkness while it imparts spiritual gifts to us. Don't diminish the role of praise in your life. Praise isn't just for feeling good and blessing God. Praise is for imparting damage to the enemy and receiving gifts and direction and insights from God. So I would say you worship with your mind and your spirit by listening to the voice of God, even in the midst of praise. Okay? Now next, our feet. We're connected to God up here, but where are our feet? They're on the earth, aren't they? Our mind can be in heaven, but we still have to be in this world. So our feet carry what? The gospel of peace. The good news, Isaiah 52. So move your feet a few times if you can. Just shuffle them. You can move them back and forth. Just try that. Okay, good. So now we've got our strategic position as royal stewards. We've got, we're connected up here and we're connected in earth. You all get it? The metaphor will become increasingly clear as I talk a little bit now about the flow of water, because we're talking about living waters today. So let's think about water. You all live in Charlottesville, most of you do, out here. And so you can think about water as sort of a spring-fed lake. The endless source is from deep beneath. The lake provides a place of nourishment to all who drink from it. The outflow and overflow bends and refreshes the lake. Source, vessel, recipient. It's simple. And who's responsible for making all these parts work? Well, let's talk about God's part. He's got, as usual, the big part. God supplies the source, the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3, the living waters we've been talking about today. God will also clean the vessel upon our request to rid it of the debris of sin and self and shame and fear that clog its channels and reduce its flow. God will also replenish the waters based on us giving out in obedience to him. He'll refill us. And God, of course, takes responsibility for the outflow, the impact, the effect downstream. And then finally, God does something wonderful to us in the process, which we'll talk about in a moment. So God's clearly responsible for a lot, but he's not responsible for everything. If you look at our scripture text, it says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." You see, Tom didn't do this today, but what Jesus did when he spoke those words, he said them very loudly. Think about a temple court. Think about the temple court in your mind. He's over on the side. There are some people around him, and there's people scattered all over the place. And he stands up. Some scriptures say cried out, but the words mean with a very loud voice. There's no amplification. He doesn't have one of these on. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." He's either a madman or he's a savior. He's just not a good teacher. He's so much more. But note the kindness of Jesus. He first offers us the living water to quench our thirst before he asks us to do anything in response. He always equips for ministry. He always gives before he asks. And then when he asks graciously and gives us choices. You see, when Jesus spoke the words that day in the temple, the overwhelmingly prevalent condition of his people was thirst. Think about them. They hadn't had a word from God's prophets for hundreds of years, and at the same time, they were burdened by hundreds of regulations from the religious leaders. This was an all feet, no hands, religion. You know what no feet, all feet and no hands does to you after a while? Makes your heart very hard, makes you bitter. Now, some of us in this room today, I'll meddle here since I can leave afterwards. This is what we're doing. We're trying to make it on our own, aren't we? We're trying too hard. It's on us. If I don't do it, nobody will. It's a bitter, hard road to go that way. So if you're thirsty today, come to God and drink. Every person's born thirsty, but that's why we need to be born again. You know, Paul said it this way. He said, "Everyone must receive God's indescribable gift." 2 Corinthians 9. So we get to agree to be a vessel. We get to choose. We get to say yes. This is a heart choice that I think spiritually requires a spiritual vision. Do you see God high and lifted up? Do you see him as the king, as the good owner, beckoning us to join his happy fellowship? This vision will, in the heart of the believer, cause a yes to come forward, because it's without condition. If you've seen him this way, I hope you've accepted him. But next, we're also called to treat the vessel as holy, paid for by the high price of Jesus' blood. Don't get hung up on the word holy if it bothers you. Just answer for yourself this question. Are you respecting yourself with the same respect God shows towards you? Perhaps there's some small aspect of your life that needs to be simplified. Perhaps it's as simple as forgiving that person who disrespected you. These things will make room for God. You are valuable to God. Receive this word today. Have some respect for yourself. Finally, we are called to be distributors of God's living waters. Us, not God. Us, not God. The scripture says, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. This means that outflow is God's assumed expectation. It is the normal response to what God reveals to us during our times of worship or in the Word. Praise, worship, and the Word will revive the spiritual gifts that we talked about remembering when we prayed at the beginning. The Lord will bring them back up again, won't he? Until we finally say yes, because we realize he's offering us life. He's offering to quench our thirst. He's not asking us to go to work for him. So now I want to offer a word about these outflows, and I want to do so as an unapologetic, non-recovering praiser. It's also a confession. See, before I learned what I'm about to share, I would praise and worship the Lord for many years, even to the exclusion of other parts of kingdom living. And then the Lord had to show me something. If, as Pastor Jack Hayford teaches, that praise is an instrument of violence, a kind of air assault against the enemy's atmosphere of sin, sickness, despair, and confusion, then our response after times of praise becomes the ground assault, whereby we reclaim the victory, the territory for God's righteousness, divine health, hope, and clear thinking. You see, praise and its natural love response are supposed to go hand in hand, and I had to learn this. So please listen carefully. Unlike the people Jesus was speaking to that day in the temple, our times are characterized by a different thirst, whereas they were all feet and no hands, we have something closer to the opposite. Many of us are well supplied with how many Bibles in your home? I think there are 14 in mine. We have wonderful sermons. We have caring pastors. We have devotionals. We have mentors. We have sweet fellowship. We have D groups. We have real community. We bask in the beauty of praise and worship music with talented, committed musicians. We are rich in God's source supplies. And these, my friends, are essential blessings. They're not optional. So I'm not putting any of those down. Yet despite all this, we are perplexed to find ourselves thirsty. We want a remedy. So what do? We seek more from the source. If I just praise a little more intensely, spend a little more time in the Word, we don't need to do it that way. So here's the word. Please receive it if it's for you today. To truly quench our thirst, we may need to augment our wonderful inflows with more outflows. Our worship needs to include Holy Spirit-directed actions, the love responses to our years in the Word and in worship. We may need to give to overflow, to release, to bless. In other words, we need to give out of the abundance of gifts that we've already been given. This will free up the Holy Spirit to bring fresh waters in, quenching our thirst. Are you using those gifts? Will you use those gifts? You see, now we have the whole package working, don't we? We got our strategic position, and we got our water flowing. And when the water flows, it all works together. Jesus talked about it in John 15. And please hear me. I'm not making a new call for works righteousness. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I'm just trying to say this. All our giving and all our doing should be done in God's strength, at God's direction, enabled by God's Spirit, relying on Him. Otherwise, we will just grow weary and lose heart, Hebrews 12. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Sounds like a vessel, doesn't it? To show that the all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. You see, this stewardship lifestyle I'm talking about today is meant to work right where we live, consistent with our spiritual gifts, in the everyday lives God has given us. I simply want to remind us today that people nearby us, people with whom we have influence, people with whom we have friendships, people with whom we have some kind of relationship, are thirsty. And we hold the water that will quench their thirst in our own imperfect jar of clay. The beautiful thing about this is it also brings us joy. Let me illustrate with a personal story. Do you like stories? Okay, relax. Everybody just kind of take it easy now. Relax. This happened to me. This happened to me at a time when my own living waters were not flowing very freely or fully. Perhaps you can relate to that today. The place was London, England. The time was February of 2000, just after Y2K. You still have the bottles in the basement? Okay. I had recently ended my employment with a company I was working for in Charlotte, North Carolina, where our family lived at the time, after an exciting but exhausting experience leading a promising startup company. I'm a businessman, by the way. That's another story. But God had engineered an amazing transition for us into a promising new opportunity in Europe, where we expected to relocate, even gave away our dog, for which my daughter's still angry with me. It was an exciting time, to be sure, but the truth is I never caught my breath, spiritually or physically, after leaving that company. I wasn't honoring this vessel. I was neglecting proper rest, nutrition, and exercise. I had become overly concerned with earthly matters, anxiously focused on my new deal. I was also traveling back and forth overnight on overnight flights between Charlotte and London, with many additional trips to Paris. Our children were in college, so Blythe traveled with me, oftentimes to London. It all sounds very heady, but mostly it was consuming and exhausting. During one particular trip, which I made alone, I was speaking on the phone with Blythe from my hotel room in London after a long day of work. It was February the 16th, 2000. Hearing something deeper in my voice than just fatigue, she did not, as I expected, suggest I just go to sleep early, but instead encouraged me to go over to Holy Trinity Brompton that night and listen to Nikki Gumbel's weekly Alpha lesson. You may be familiar with the Alpha program. Tired but thirsty, please listen, husbands, I listened to God speaking through my wife, and I went. The church was entirely full that evening. I was directed to the balcony. I was seated next to a man who spoke little English. We introduced ourselves. His name was Mia Guy. You a gal? Mia Guy. Mia Guy. That's pretty good. That's not even in here. He was a 25-year-old computer engineer and married father of two. He told me that a friend of his at the BBC, where he was working as an intern, had dropped him off at church, trying to make me Christian, he said. Well, the praise and worship was especially rich that evening. Nikki brought forth the word, worship and the word. I was opening, it was beautiful. As the meeting ended and the people started to disperse, Mia Guy began to ask me questions, lots of questions, and the blessing of the evening was beginning to feel like a burden. I wanted to go back to my hotel room and go to sleep. But there was no escape. More questions. What was Nikki talking about? What is Christian life? How does Jesus move into your heart? Yes, Lord. I settled back into my seat. I began to show him passages from my Bible. My energy level was rising for the first time in months. waters flowing out. God was very near. Megai eventually became quiet as his questions ceased. He seemed to be pondering all he had heard. After a few minutes, he arose to say goodbye, and I sensed the Holy Spirit nudging me to give him my Bible. Yes, Lord. More water's flowing out. He took that gift, he wrapped his arms around it with his toothy grin, and he said, "Good gift." 2 weeks later, I received this email from him. "Dear Charlie, we met at Holy Trinity Brompton Church at Alpha Course, and you gave me your Bible. Now I want to say to you, I'm Christian. I decided it last Thursday. I want to love God and to love friends and to love people. I want to live by the way God said to us. Thank you." He didn't say that. He said, "Thank you, your kindness." He meant, "Thank you for your kindness, Megai." I will share the remarkable ending of that story in a moment. You see, as royal stewards of living waters, we are God's receivers, holders, and givers, watching for the opportunities with the eyes of Jesus and listening for the Spirit's instructions to act. This is about bringing an attitude of stewardship to all the resources God has given us, including ourselves. By making our lives available to Him, we join into God's grand love story, whereby we, along with the recipients, are changed. Bill quoted Dallas Willard earlier today. I'll do it again. He calls this moving from communication with God to communion with God to union with God. This is why Jesus could make the ridiculously outlandish statement, promise, in John 15:7, where he says, "If you abide in me, ask for anything you want and I'll give it to you." Well, of course he can. We're fully connected if we're abiding. What else would we ask for but what he wanted? So back to my story to finish up. As Megai and I were leaving our seats in the balcony, one of the ushers, interestingly enough over there they call them stewards. If any of you are Brits here today, I apologize, but they call them stewards over there. One of them came up to me and said, "Excuse me, sir, am I to understand that you just gave this man your Bible?" I nodded. Then he said something very important for this vessel to hear that night and for all of us vessels to hear today. He said, "Well, sir, the strangest thing just happened. A woman just walked into the church downstairs, having come across the street from Herod's department store. She said she had been shopping in the store when the Lord spoke to her. She said the Lord told her to purchase a Bible, to take it over to Holy Trinity Brompton and to give it to a steward. The steward would know what to do with it." The steward then looked at me and said, "Sir, I believe you need this Bible." And he handed me this Bible. Now, even though I showed up that night with nothing but a Bible and a trickle flow of living waters, God had engineered a "even you won't miss this" message. So my friends, I share it with you today. There are two great truths I took away from that experience. The first one is this one. Praise, worship, and the Word are irreplaceable, but they are always accompanied by Holy Spirit gifts that God wants us to use. They're accompanied by Holy Spirit gifts. And the second one is, which was stated in our opening, unbelievably, when living waters are given away, God always replenishes their supply. They never run dry. He would not let me leave without a Bible that night. I mean, how clear is that message? You see, biblical stewardship lovingly addresses a deep spiritual need within each of us about our gifts. We need to give. We need to give out. We were made like our King. He's a giver. So, a bit on the enemy's strategy, because you will be opposed if you take royal stewardship seriously. The enemy does not want you to be a royal steward. He does not want you to be a kingdom giver. He does not want you strategically listening for direction. And he's going to give you several good reasons to hold back. He's told you that you're unqualified and ungifted, among other lies. He has intimidated many good pastors from even using the words from the pulpit tithe, money, giving, stewardship. He doesn't want God's blessings to flow to you, and he doesn't want them to flow to me. He wants us believers living unhappily off the crumbs of our own sweat and toil, despite the readily available riches of redemption. You might remember that was the same sweet deal he offered Adam and Eve, and we know how that turned out. He wants us, either through our own ignorance or by his deceiving us to disobey, to settle for his miserable, enslaving, works-based, self-focused lifestyle. Resist him and his lies. Crowd him out with your praise. And so, like Jesus in the temple that day, I'm here to proclaim to you something in a loud voice, okay? Say yes to God. Take up your full commission as royal stewards. And know this, the God who calls you and me to a life of worship and giving also models it for us right in front of us. So worship God with all your heart. Dive deeply into his word. Use your Holy Spirit gifts to bless others. And give, knowing it'll be given back to you. Knowing Jesus will see you right where you are, the way he saw me that night in London. And when the enemy stokes that fear in you that you won't have enough if you give, you're going to run out. It's zero-sum math. Open your heart to God's love, because perfect love casts out fear. Have faith in God. He will provide. So here's my question for us all today. Isn't this the life we were meant to live? Isn't this the people we were meant to be? Isn't this the person you were meant to be? If it is, tell him so now. Just tell him, say, Lord, that's it. That's me. That's it. Praise you, Lord. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I'm moving my feet. I'm moving my hands. The whole thing is going, Lord. It's all you. Here's a final thought before we respond and move into communion. There is much to get excited about as you embrace your role as royal steward of living water. There's the thrill of being used by God, of seeing miracles and becoming more like Jesus. But the greatest thrill, is to be connected to him. Getting to know him in more and more wonderful ways through what happens on the earth, through our feet, and what happens in our minds and hearts in the midst of praise. So how do we respond to this today? May I propose the following. Begin with God right where you are in the quiet of your own heart. If this is your day to take your first drink of living waters, then be born again today. Receive him as Savior and Lord. Stop relying on yourself and let him carry you. To believers today, affirm or reaffirm your desire to be his vessel. Ask him for just what you need today to revive the flow of living waters from within you, even if it runs counter to your personal preferences, your previous understanding, or your perspective on your own gifts, your limited perspective on your own gifts. Do you need more from the source? Then soak in the waters of praise and the word. Do you need more cleansing? Then receive God's forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. Settle that matter with God that's holding you back and forgive yourselves today. Do you need more outflow? Then let God's love melt away your fears. Revive your spiritual gifting and give, remembering that God sees you and will replenish to overflowing all the energy, time, talent, and treasure you will ever need. You young in Christ believers here today, you married couple, young married couples here today, I see one from the testimony. Establish the tithe. Establish the tithe. And then give. And never look back like Blythe and I did 35 years ago. God promises you nothing less than a lifetime of provision and revelation and blessing. It's a good deal. Really good. I'm a business guy. No better deal. Finally, whatever God is speaking to your heart today, whatever he's brought up, will you memorialize that That's a nice way of saying, will you seal that with the Holy Spirit in your life today? Will you make it real? The decisions of your heart determine your destiny. Do it in communion, where Jesus said, remember, remember, remember. Bill, will you come up? As we move towards communion, maybe we could have some music as you desire, and unless there's something else you want to say at this point, I'm good.
As Charlie was showing us what God does, I couldn't help but think about communion. We walk. We do this. We don't sit and have people come to us. We have you come to the table walking. With our hands up, connected to Him, worshiping. It's an act of worship as we come to the community thing. He fills us. Thirst.